Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm a big fan of apps. Do you like apps?
Love apps.
They're good, man. Yeah. App State, they got their own state now? Wow, how about that? I like it.
They should have their own state. Like,
it really? If you just go to a place and they got like 10 different apps you can choose from for your meal, you're good to go,
just
right?
All apps. Yep.
Little Tato skins. We still do Tato skins?
Sure.
I like those. Little Bloomin' Onion, maybe.
Little Mott Sticks.
Little Mott Sticks, yeah. Roy Biggins used to say, if it's green, it's trouble. If it's fried, order double.
Fried pickles.
Chips or spears?
Chips.
Got to go with the chips, right? Yeah, you got to go with the chips. Maybe some wings
Team
you can
chips.
Throw on that plate,
sure.
too. I like that. Yeah. That sounds pretty good.
Really hungry now at 5:58.
There you go.
As opposed to 6:30 during Shout It Out.
There, right. Yeah, you're going to get your candy bar on early today, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. The Patriots are dead. I told
you. That's right.
No,
yeah.
Kidding.
No, you didn't. No,
I'm
you
just
did
kidding.
Not.
I didn't
no.
say that. That will be the national narrative. If you're Clay Travis in the first hour, Patriots haven't beaten anybody. So there it is. It already started. Patriots. Everything's wrong with the Patriots. And no credit to the Chiefs who played great yesterday. That was a fun game. It felt like a playoff game. Had all the thrills and tension and everything of a playoff game. That was fantastic. Aside from way too many penalties by both teams, and I saw that lead official way too much.
Yeah.
He spoke way too much because they had to make so many calls. Although I did like, was it Jerome Boger is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He seems almost disgusted when he has to call a penalty.
Yeah.
Which is great. Like, these guys are holding again.
Right.
Other than that, that was a fantastically thrilling football game.
It really was. And I said it to my wife as we were watching the game yesterday. I'm like, I'm nervous watching this game. Like, I'm exhausted watching this game. I even talked to somebody in the organization last night about it. Like, I was exhausted watching that thing. I can't imagine what everybody was feeling like playing in that football game last night, because just watching every single play and being involved every single play on the edge of your seat like we were yesterday, man, that took a hell of a lot out of you. I think everybody in Kansas City today deserves a day off from their company, because everybody watched that game and everybody's walking away after like you're feeling like you worked a full day after watching that thing up in Foxborough yesterday. But you're right, man. It did have the feel of the playoffs. It had the feel of a huge game, and really it lived up to its billing. But the penalties we'll get into later on, because I don't want to start with that. But by
I thought it bogged down the overall flow.
I mean, you knew how much it bogged down the game when they didn't even take a commercial break between the end of the third quarter and beginning of the fourth quarter. They just kept going.
Like, we're even out of commercials. We don't have anything else to sell you.
We've got nothing else to do. I've never seen a game do that before where they just continued on. Like, they just flipped sides of the field. And even Nance is like, well, it's not that far to walk. Yeah. I mean, they didn't even go to commercial
break.
They
were out of breaks.
Yeah, they had no commercials left.
They had none left.
Damn challenges and reviews and play. I mean, every single play after every single play in the NFL, now you're seeing the referees and whatnot. But anyway, it was a great win, for the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. And I think right now my whole takeaway, the defense is now the strength of this team. They won the game on Sunday yesterday because of defense, and really despite the offense. The only time the Patriots had success against the Kansas City Chiefs, Josh, was on trick plays. You saw a flea flicker. You saw a halfback pass. That was the only time New England was really able to have success. Tom Brady running for 17 yards, on the fourth down play or whatever it was, which I'm surprised he slid there. I don't know, man. You keep going on something like that. You only had Tyrann Mathieu to beat, right? Yeah, he probably was, just like the rest of us. He was probably winded as well running that far, 17 yards.
Longest run in like 5 years or something.
Yeah, it was crazy. but this team won it with defense. And for my purposes, the defense is now the strength of this team. This defense has carried the Kansas City Chiefs over the last three games. And over the last three games, which are three wins for this organization, the defense is averaging giving up just 14 points a game, man. That's a Super Bowl formula that you can have to win a championship. You're giving up 14 points per game over your last three wins to the Raiders, to the Patriots, and to whoever they played before that. I mean, seriously, that is a hell, or it was the Chargers, right? That's a hell of a job by this defense. And we talked all last week how the last 6 weeks that pass defense has been really, really good. We saw it really, really good last night, holding Tom Brady to, what, 180 yards or whatever it was passing, you know, in that 168 yards or whatever and passing in that game last night. This defense is now playing at a Super Bowl level. And Steve Spagnuolo, guys, owns Tom Brady. We saw it in Super Bowl, whatever it was, in 2007, 42, and we saw it again on display yesterday. They blitzed him. They confused him. They messed with him. They did exotic things. That was the Steve Spagnuolo defense that I wanted to see the day that they hired him. And here we are, finally in December, against the dragon that could never be slayed by this organization. And that Steve Spagnuolo defense stepped up and raised its level of play to the way that Spags coordinates and owns Tom Brady. This morning in Boston, I want to hear Tom Brady say, "Steve Spagnuolo is my daddy." Steve Spagnuolo is my daddy is what Tom Brady needs to be saying right now. Because that's the way he was last night. And a stat that nobody's going to be talking about, the defense didn't allow a third down conversion after the first quarter. What the hell, man? How about that? They didn't allow the Patriots to convert on third down after the first quarter of that football game last night. This defense is a Super Bowl caliber defense right now.
Yeah, they're playing like it. The defensive line was outstanding yesterday. You were just wondering who was going to get to the quarterback. Who was going to create the pressure? Who was going to run him out of time? And then that secondary continues to perform.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got beneficiary of one big call for sure. but they clamped down. They ran the defense that tried to, you know, take Julian Edelman away.
Mm-hmm.
They got a few things to Julian Edelman, but not a lot. And it took a trick play to really get him that big play, as you had mentioned. They were really, really good. And then when it counted.
Mm-hmm.
They get the bat down and on a fantastic play by Breland.
Yep,
in the end zone. That 9 times out of 10 in New England, you probably get screwed on that call.
Sure,
but things were going the Chiefs' way yesterday, and yes, despite the offense in the second half, they're able to come up with a victory because the offense provided 3 points. That first drive of the third quarter was terrific. I'm like, this is like a knockout drive, taking a bunch of time off the clock. Then had to settle for 3 and then got nothing after that.
Well, I mean, how much of it, too, is Pat's hand? Because I think that's a bigger deal than anybody's letting on this morning. He's going for an MRI and an X-ray today on that hand. And so I think that hand, as we sit here and criticize, you know, Andy Reid for the second half.
If I were them, I wouldn't even go do that.
I mean, so yeah, you have to, I think, HIPAA to not, you know.
Because you don't want the answer.
Yeah, you don't. You know, it could be broken.
It's fine. You just go play.
It's all mental.
Right.
Because I worry about what that thing's going to say.
Right.
Because if he doesn't know it's hurt, he doesn't know it's hurt.
That's right.
So, how much could they do after that point in time remains to be seen. And he was still going to give you more than putting someone else in at that point in time. I could have. So, yeah, we'll see the extent of that injury. But, the defense had to win that game because there wasn't anything offensively going on in the second half.
No, there really wasn't. Are you finally bought into the defense now? Have they come up with the big stop that you needed to see
up
with?
They were great yesterday. Okay, I mean, the pressure they put on.
Yeah, the pressure was outstanding.
The defensive line just putting guys.
Yeah.
Just keep putting every guy. They were all.
And that's the rotation that they had with the Giants in 07 and why they were able to stay fresh and get the Tom Brady. The defensive line rotations were incredible.
It was like Brady was a piece of raw meat.
Yeah.
It was like, who's going to get it?
Who's going to get him? Who's going to get after him? Who's going to hit him? Who's going to bring him down? Who's going to hit this guy? Who's going to take their shots on Tom Brady? And they did it, 3 sacks, you know, and they hit him multiple times last night, too.
And I said last week that even though we know the Patriots have not been a, you know, run first team, they were going to try to run the football.
Right.
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell the Chiefs were committed. I mean, they had their sights set at we are stopping the run.
And they did it on the first couple of plays of that game, too. They lined up and they stopped the run, save a couple of pass interference penalties. It would have been a 3-and-out to start, you know, the game for the New England Patriots, so they probably would not have had that touchdown on the flea flicker. And so I think ultimately when you see what happened and the way that it all played out, it could have been a lot better for that defense if not for 2 pass interference penalties back-to-back on 3rd and 7.
And those could be, even though it was early on in the game, that first drive, the interception.
Right.
Those could have all been things that snowballed into a blowout.
Right, absolutely. Usually it does up in New England,
Before you even blinked, they have the drive. You got a couple of defensive penalties. You're kind of on your heels suddenly. Then you turn it over.
Right.
Those could be good night type things. But then it was just flip the switch, and they had the momentum back the other direction. So that's a huge win. That's an absolute huge win. Clinching a playoff spot and all that stuff's gravy. But that's a big hurdle overcome with getting that win in New England. They made their fans boo, for goodness sakes.
They made the fans boo in New England. And talk about fans, and we will talk about old England fans up there. Talk about just, you know, selfish SOBs, spoiled brats, man. You've had 20 years of greatness, and you have the nerve to boo your football team after 6 championships in 20 years and 10 straight 10-win seasons, whatever it's been for this club up there in New England, the way that they've set records over the last couple of years. Talk about spoiled brat fans. They really are the best fans in football, my foot. I mean, seriously. Like, you have the nerve to boo Tom Brady and the New England Patriots after the 20-year run that they just put you on. If I'm Tom Brady right now, I'm asking to be traded today, I'm leaving the Patriots organization.
Tom Brady's going to launch himself into the sun, ladies and gentlemen.
There is no reason for Tom Brady to ever have to play a game again for those unappreciative old England fans.
He's been booing longer than the fans have.
But it's one thing, you can do that. You're a fan base, man.
I'm just saying, why would that phase him? He's been booing his offense for like 3 weeks now.
But that would be like KU fans going out and booing Bill Self or booing Roy Williams or something of that nature. I mean, you just don't do that. There's been a lot of success brought there to New England.
And you're
in a funk. You're 10-3 this
year,
my God.
They got it back later when they started the Brady chant.
Right, yeah, uh-huh, sure.
They wiped out the people that were
old England fans.
They were booing. They overcame them with niceness towards Brady when he made that run.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'd love to have old England problems right now. I still would. I mean, I still would love to have the problems that the Cheatriots are facing right now and sitting at 10-3, leading the division and having the 2 seed in the postseason and their own team. It was music to my ears, man.
What have you done for me lately, man?
But still, I mean, that just shows you're unappreciative. And if you're Tom Brady, you're like, why do I want to play for you people anymore? Seriously, why do I want to play here? Why do I want to play in a city and in a region that is booing me when I'm 10-3 and I'm having a game where the defense is getting after me and I'm trying to will my team to a victory and you guys are booing
me? Josh McDaniels and I are going to go to Cleveland.
Get the hell out of Dodge. And that's what I would do if I was Tom Brady today. I would walk and say, you know what? You're underappreciating me. You're unappreciative fans. I'm out of here. There's no reason for me to stand around here in New England anymore. The nerve of them booing Tom Brady last night. But it was music to all of our ears, and it was a great win, and that's the slaying of the dragon that we needed in the regular season, and now it gives you that momentum for the postseason. And you heard Clark Hunt after the game when he was asked about being down 7-0. What was he thinking? He's like, I gotta be honest, I was a little nervous in that spot. And he should have been a little nervous in that spot, because we were all nervous in that spot being down 7-0. But you had a punt blocked, you had turnovers, you had 10 penalties, and you still found a way to beat the New England Patriots. That's the sign of a very good football team. They overcame every single obstacle that was put in their way, and they overcame and they won. And that's how you win in gin for the Kansas City Chiefs in December. Great win. Way to start the fourth quarter of this season. And let's go rolling through this thing, and let's kick some more tail this weekend when Drew Locke and the Denver Broncos come rolling
into
town.
So are we rooting for the Bills to beat the Pats, but the Bills to also take another loss?
Yeah, somewhere along the way. I think that's what's got to happen,
right?
I don't know anymore.
Getting back to the
Just let it all play out.
There's still an opportunity at the 2 seed, which I didn't think there was going to be this late. I didn't think that they would be able to play themselves back into it.
Right.
But certainly the scenario is there for them to still have that 2 seed and play at home for a while.
That's exactly right. They could. They can still get a bye. They can still get home playoff games. They can still do a lot of damage in this postseason. Either way you look at it, the Chiefs have a home playoff game, whether it's wild card weekend or whether it's the divisional round. This team has got a home playoff game. That's a very good thing. And we're looking at a Kansas City-Baltimore type of AFC championship game probably in Baltimore in that final playoff weekend of the season before the Super Bowl. It's exciting now, man.
So if they don't get the 2 seed, you're already planning on a win in Foxborough again?
If they don't get a 2 seed?
Yeah. You're already planning on that?
Oh, they already beat them up
there. All right. I was just double checking, making sure you called it at 6:11 today that the playoff game in New England is also over. Coming up, if you know who won the fantasy pick to pop, 913-576-7610 for your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. And he gets 100 next.
Fesco in the morning.
Shout it out coming up at 630-693-06. As always, on the text line for that. Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue, though, right now. If you remember the fantasy pick to pop, Fridays at 6:15, we give you our fantasy picks for the weekend. Mondays at 6:15, you tell us who are the best of the fantasy picks. You can win yourself $50 to Smokehouse Barbecue and assorted sauces and spices. Don and KC is today's contestant. Don, tell us who had the fantasy pick to pop.
I'm going to have to go with Bob and Dalvin Cook.
I'm sorry. I really wanted to give it.
Are we sure? I don't see the points on here. I just see that somebody highlighted you as the winner last night.
Yeah, because Christian McCaffrey is better. Nobody got in the end zone of any of our picks, by the way.
That's funny. Yeah, how, what are the odds?
We had running backs, Christian McCaffrey. I had Christian McCaffrey. He had both a rushing and receiving.
Yep.
As usual for Christian McCaffrey. So he was the fantasy pick to pop. So no winner today. We'll do it again on Friday at 6:15. Your chance to win. Smokehouse Barbecue also coming up at 8:15. If you remember, the Risket for the Brisket coming up at 8:15. So about that hand.
Pat hurt his hand early in this game. And, we think it's okay. But, I mean, we'll see how it goes. But it was hard for him to grip the ball and do the things that he needed to do there. So, but he powered through it. Didn't say much, you know. That's how he is. So, we'll take an X-ray of it as we go here and MRIs, all that stuff that we do.
So they're going to do a lot of
things.
He's like,
I don't know what those medical things are, but we're going to do them.
The NFL hand committee will be all over this one because it's a big injury. And I think that's part of the reason why in the second half we didn't see much out of this offense. And I was getting texts from buddies all over the place complaining about, you know, this offense and how Andy needs to start playing like every game he's behind instead of playing like with a lead because they don't like the way that he plays with a lead. But I think ultimately when I look at this game in particular, it's easy, big picture to, you know, complain about Andy Reid and the play calling and all that stuff. But I think a lot of the play calls were the way that they were in the second half because Patrick Mahomes was dealing with basically a hurt hand since the first series of the game where he was taken down and smashed his hand on the turf. He was dealing with a bad hand, and it's only going to get worse as you go throughout the game. It's not going to get better. And so you had to basically call an offense in that second half that was going to kind of maximize what Patrick Mahomes was able to do, you know, with that hand. You couldn't go for the deep ball. You couldn't go for some of the stuff maybe that you wanted to because he wasn't able to get a grip on that. And I would rather have them go a little bit more conservative the way that they did in the second half than to put Patrick Mahomes in the same position and then have him throw a wounded duck or an interception like that because his hand isn't working and then basically flip the script and change the way that the game was going for the Chiefs. So I guess I have to see how serious this hand injury is, but on the surface, looking back on it right now, the second half play calling was the way that it was, I believe, because his hand was all jacked
up. And you're also playing the best defense in the NFL.
And that's the other thing. They're good. They're really good defensively. They were really good.
Their defensive line was equally as good as the Chiefs was.
I mean,
They were getting pressure all day long. They committed to stop the run. Mm-hmm. They were really good as well.
And they did stop the run last night. And they pretty much took out Kelce and Hill from that game last night. I mean, that was the other thing. I mean, 60 yards for Kelce, 60 yards for Hill. The only way Kelce gets into the end zone is because they have some trick creative play with the Wildcat where he's lined up, you know, as the quarterback in that situation. So, again, they took the two big playmakers out of the game, and Pat had a banged-up hand. Yeah, you probably do go a little conservative in the second half and just try to get out of there with a win like they did.
It doesn't feel great right now, but it's something that you play with. In this sport, you're going to get hurt. You're going to bang something. And so for me, it's about going out there and competing and relying on my teammates to help me out whenever I'm not feeling maybe 100%.
So there he is. Yeah, it's not feeling great right now. For him to say that, it must not be really feeling great right now.
And the fact that he was fiddling with it early on, this is something that's hurting him.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
And then he took a shot, looked like to the ribs or something later on, and he got hit.
Oh, he got banged up.
They got some licks in on him yesterday. But yeah, I don't do the X-ray or the MRI. I just like
let it
Pat,
go.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay,
we're not gonna tell you it's fine. Just go on out there. It's fine.
Kind of like your kid when you say just get up. You're okay.
We'll
and you realize
dirt
he's
on
bleeding.
We'll rub some dirt on it. And after the season, go, man, he's played with a broken hand for like 4 weeks there or 5 weeks there. Wow.
Haven't you guys noticed Patrick Mahomes gets hurt early in games?
All the time.
It's like he can't play a full game healthy if it's against like a good team.
Right, he does. He does get banged up a lot, yeah, and he did. And I think ultimately that's why we saw the offense do kind of what they did, you know, in the second half. Now, granted, Andy
Kramer
has
over
the track
here,
record.
The Raider guy set up the narrative, right?
Right.
Pat's injury prone.
Pat is injury prone.
Oh, no, I'm not setting that up.
In those big games, he's hurt early in the game.
No, that's the thing.
Yeah, I hear you over there.
He's got heart.
Yeah, but look at all the injuries that he's had this year. He's had a hand injury. He's had an ankle injury. He's had a knee injury. Like, this guy's had everything banged up, and he's still finding a way to go out there and lead his team to a win. You got to love it, man.
I don't want to know what it is.
You're going to find out.
I know you're
going to find out. You got to X-ray. I mean, what if it is broken? Get a damn cast on that thing. Let's go.
And then take it off on Sundays.
Take it off on Sunday. You put that soft cast on. He's going to be in a walking cast, right?
Yes, there you go.
His hand.
Yes.
He'll go with a KU and get that boot and put it on his hand.
Andy picks up his 100th career road win. Not a bad place to get it.
That's pretty good, right? A lot of good things happened in Foxborough yesterday. You slayed the dragon, you got your 100th road win, and you've won your fourth straight AFC West championship, and you were able to do that on the road in a place where nobody's able to win. There was 21 straight wins for New England there. I think the last time they lost at home was to the Kansas City Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken, or was it the Carolina Panthers? I guess
they had that one in there, but
the Panthers and Chiefs, the last two teams to beat them in Foxborough, and the Pats were 35-4 in December at home going into that game yesterday. They're now 35-5 in the month of December, which is still a pretty damn impressive
record. And 42-0 with Brady and Edelman gone.
42-0 with Brady and Edelman is no longer on the deal. They're 42-1 with Brady and Edelman now. You know, against AFC teams on the third Tuesday of the month in Foxborough or whatever the stupid stat was.
A lot of games, though. It was a lot of sample size.
Yeah, but the Andy Reid thing to me is important to talk about because, as I said in the second half, I was receiving a bevy of texts from friends of mine complaining about the play calling about Andy Reid. And does he do everything you love? No coach does everything that you love, right? But what we have in Andy Reid is the best possible guy to have as the head football coach for this organization and really for any organization outside of Old England, because Andy Reid does nothing but put you in position to win. Each year now, Josh, that he's been in Kansas City, he's won at least 9 regular season games. That's pretty darn impressive. That's pretty hard to do, okay? He's won 9 regular season games every year that he's been in Kansas City. They've won 4 straight AFC West titles, and I don't care how your division is. Last year, look, the Chargers were really, really good last year. They were able to hold off the Chargers, even with a late home loss to San Diego, and still find a way to win that division. They've won 4 straight division
titles. They've never done that.
No,
okay?
Ever. They didn't win 2 straight division
titles,
right?
In their great history, sometimes overblown, even
right.
She's had the overblown history of whatever. They've never done this.
They've never done this before. Yeah, so they're doing something they've never done before. It's not easy to do in the NFL to win 4 straight division titles. This is kind of in the realm of what the New England Patriots do. They win division titles just by kind of rolling out of bed right now. They've been in the playoffs in 6 of the 7 years that Andy Reid has been the head football coach. I mean, that's remarkable. Every single year that he's been here, including taking a team that was 2-14 and turning them into an 11-5 team and getting into the postseason. Andy Reid has been in the playoffs every year he's been here except that second year. And clinching in Foxborough is pretty damn sweet, too, and getting that 100th road win, like all of those things that came together yesterday. That was a really remarkable win. And I would say if you ask Andy Reid when it's all said and done, probably one of his favorite wins. He was very calm and talkative. And, you know, his post-game press conference yesterday was about as relaxed as I've seen Andy Reid in a very, very, very long time. And it was good to hear that kind of relaxing, almost enjoying the moment, I think, yesterday of that win, because I think it really is a big-time victory, no matter how you slice it. That's a big-time win up there in
Foxborough. Yeah, this is the one you get the football for with the little white panel
on it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, somebody signs their name on it.
Yeah, that's a white-paneled football on the mantle type win.
Absolutely.
And also, you saw how much it meant both coaches. I mean, both coaches were, like, into it.
Yeah.
Showing emotion.
Yeah, you never see emotion out of Bill Belichick or Andy Reid, and both of those cats, man, they were fired up on the sidelines.
Yeah. I mean, that was big. And then an actual handshake because the two respect each other.
They do. They're friends. Right? I mean, they probably sit on boats together at Martha's
and
Vineyard.
So that to me added to the whole of that game yesterday, that both coaches were into it too.
Right, and it's good when you can have a rivalry, if you will, like this, where both sides are taking advantage of it. And next year, the Patriots have to come to Arrowhead, you know, for the regular season. So that's going to be really, really good to see that game finally here in Kansas City coming up in 2020. And the other thing real fast about Andy Reid, he's got 70-some wins with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, 74 wins, if I'm not mistaken, something like that, right? And you look at that number, that's more than half of what he did in Philadelphia.
I know, and it felt like he was in Philadelphia for like 30 years.
Right. He's got more than half the amount of wins already in Kansas City. I think he had 130-some wins in Philadelphia. He's got like 74 wins already here in Kansas City or something of that nature. So, I mean, the guy is on track if he stays for a long time to be better than he was in Philadelphia.
130 wins in Philadelphia, 74 in Kansas City.
Yeah. So how many years was he in Philadelphia?
From 99 to 2012. So
13 years. Yeah. So basically he's on pace to do exactly what he did in Philadelphia, which was remarkable.
9-10 wins a season.
Which is remarkable. He's a remarkable head coach, and I think when we're getting mad and we're mad about conservative play calling or whatever the case may be, take a deep breath, take a step back, and realize we got one of the best in the history of the game running our franchise right now.
When was it over? Plus, we shouted out 69306 on the text line next.
Fesco in the morning.
Six nine 306 on the text line. Anything you'd like to discuss, we will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. But when was it over yesterday in Foxborough, besides Monday at 6:11?
6:11 is when it was officially
when
over
you
yesterday.
When you called the game over with the Patriots, and you 6:11 today, you already called the rematch over with the Patriots.
That's right.
But when was it actually over yesterday?
6:11, it was actually over. When it was over yesterday was early on in the game, and I think you even sent a message back at the end of the game, like, the game's over, but I don't really think that the game is quite over yet. But it was over fairly early. The time was 4:32 in the afternoon, okay, and we were still in the first half of that football game, and there was a fourth down and 7 play for the New England Patriots, and shockingly, they were going for it on fourth down and 7, which is you know, at that point in time, it's still early in the game. I think it was 7-3 maybe at that point in time. I'm trying to look at my notes and seeing what the score was. No, it was 17-7. I'm sorry, 17-7 Kansas City. So they were already down 10 points, and they decided that they were going to go for it, and ultimately, it did not work out for them.
I think in this game, you got to score touchdowns.
And again, here comes the blitz on Brady. That pass is wide of Edelman, and no flag. And the Chiefs take over on downs. It was Kendall Fuller who made Brady rush the pass.
And he needed to hit that one. He's going to look back. Kansas City off to a great start.
Yeah, that was 4th and 7 at the Kansas City 27-yard line. That incomplete pass there, that's also about the time the Kansas City Chiefs, I think, grabbed the momentum of that game because they went down the field. They were able to get a field goal before halftime and have a 20-7 lead going into the break. And that was their 17 points that came in the second quarter yesterday. So for me, that's ultimately when it was over in that game yesterday, because it just wasn't working for the New England Patriots. The Chiefs were doing a great job defensively of keeping them off balance, of making plays, of shutting down Julian Edelman and shutting down their wide receivers and shutting down Mohamed Sanu. And there were a few drops mixed in as well by some of the younger Patriot wide receivers. But ultimately for me, that was kind of that play of the game where, you know, if you convert there, you keep a drive going. And they chose not to take 3 points in that situation because of what we talked about a lot last week. Where's their kicker? They didn't sign Nick Folk until and at one point Romo called him Nick Foles. At one point they didn't have a kicker until like late on Saturday. And
they didn't need one until Sunday.
Sunday, right? So they didn't trust their kicker in that situation. And so they went for it there and ultimately probably cost themselves at least 3 points by going for it in that situation and not getting the conversion there. So for me, that's kind of when I felt this thing was over. Big play by the Chiefs defense on fourth down to not allow the New England Patriots to convert.
I didn't think it was over until it actually was zero. Mm-hmm. Like when Bashaud Breeland knocked down the pass, I was like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, wait, they can kneel down here?
Yeah.
There's not a way for them to get the ball. It was like, it didn't dawn on me. Like, oh, I knew they had the big stop. They preserved the lead, but I didn't even at that point going, okay, I'm just watching the clock. I'm like, just get to zero. Somehow, some way. So me, it was way late.
I was way early.
Maybe after the game was over, like, that ended?
Yeah.
I might have totally missed it.
So do I get credit for 6:11 or do I have to give credit for in the game?
No.
I call this a week ahead of time.
In the game was early enough.
Yeah.
It was probably way too early still in the game.
It was. And really, I called it because our guy DJ Jason, who comes out to DJ for us at times when we're on remote, he sent me a text. He goes, is that the it's over play? I'm like, yeah, what the hell? Let's call it here. Let's call it over.
People want it now.
People want the answer now.
They want it early. I understand.
They want it now. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the text line today. Whatever it is that you want to talk about, feel free to bring it, and we'll discuss it with you as we get closer and closer to the holiday season.
Dirty Sean on Twitter says he tweeted you that exact moment yesterday.
Oh, did he? I missed that. Okay.
He thought he shared. I think at this point in time, they know when it's coming from you. It's not that they believe that that's when it is, but they're trying to now pick when you pick it.
Right, exactly. Everybody's trying to guess when I'm going to pick the when it's over, but it was 6:11 last week, man.
Yeah.
Who do they got this week? It's over now, too, for that game.
Chris Jones jawing at Brady in the third quarter.
I really did like that. That was good. Chris Jones showing who's boss right there. Chris Jones is the new face of the NFL on defense.
Made Brady come and use his face mask to...
It was getting chippy.
head bump him.
I mean, chippy is a bad word to use. It was an all out, you know, it was a fight, man. That was like an MMA unsanctioned brawl at a casino. That's the way that was, man. That was a good deal last night.
Top three TV show theme songs: 3 Silver Spoons, 2 Hill Street Blues, 1 Family Ties.
Oh man, that's a lot to ask. I like Growing Pains. That's always up there for me. Perfect Strangers is really, really good. And I don't know if you call Seinfeld a theme, but I'll go with that, you know, whatever that little ding, 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 ding thing that they play at the beginning. I like
just
that.
Just a good old boy.
That's another good one, too.
Never meaning no harm.
Kramer has no idea what that
it's
is.
It's all you ever saw.
Actually, I'm trying to remember it now. Since is
the that's, day they was born.
Oh, I can't think
making
of it.
Making their way.
The only way they know how.
That Duke
that's just a little bit more than the law would allow.
What is that? I can't think of that.
He has no idea.
No, I've heard of that before.
We're not going to tell him.
You were probably already out of college at the time, but we were in college when they used to run the reruns on CMT, and we used to race home from school.
Is that Dukes of Hazzard?
It is.
Okay, that's what I thought.
We used to race home from school, college, class, whatever it was. Sometimes we would even skip to make sure we were watching the Dukes of Hazzard on CMT.
Made a big batch of gumbo last night. Can't wait until lunch.
Oh, yeah. Gumbo's better the next day.
Can I come over?
You let all of those flavors, as they say, meld. You meld the flavors there, brother.
What's your favorite meal to treat yourself with after a big workout? For me, it's Town Topic triple cheeseburger and hash browns, the texter says.
You know,
triple cheeseburger and hash browns, that's going for it.
That's some good carbs
I'm a
right
big
there.
Believer in, yeah, you go to get your workout, you eat whatever you want.
Nah, see, you can't do that. My favorite thing to treat myself to after a nice workout is lettuce and chicken.
No, that's awesome.
Why punish yourself for the workout you just did?
Because you just earned it.
You know, our friend Dave Scretta, who rode the bike for like 13 hours last week for Toys for Tots, he only burned like 8,000 calories. I feel like he got gypped.
Oh, no, you don't want to count those because, yeah, I ride for burritos or jog for burritos or
so
whatever.
So he basically
you don't even
rode,
get close. You don't even get same. Close to get
yeah.
him.
Yeah, he basically rode for 13 hours, burned 8,000 calories so he could have half a Chipotle burrito. Yeah,
pretty much. Frank Clark's flu game greater than Jordan's.
Well, we'll talk about that. Yeah, I talked to somebody in the locker room after the game about that last night and some of the stuff that that cat went through this week, man. He lost 10 pounds. He was in the hospital. He was getting IVs. I don't think he's eaten since last week. I mean, like, that was an incredible game by Frank Clark and the type of game that kind of snowballs you to the top of the ladder where people were criticizing Frank Clark all year. You have a game like that when you're sick like that, you become a legend right away.
Shout out to Odessa Bulldogs, undefeated 3A Missouri State champs.
Hey, hashtag congratulations. Hey, nicely done. Nicely done. I like that. Did they play in the Dome or Faurot Field?
I don't know where they play anymore.
Where they play the championship games in Missouri.
WEEI is melting down, says someone on the text line. They've admitted the only way that the Patriots can get back is if they start cheating again.
Yeah, that's probably true. They're going to have to start deflating footballs and things and paying off the refs again.
That's funny. Follow up on the in-laws. I kicked them out. Wife followed them for a week, so I took this vacation this week.
Oh, good. Did he say your wife followed
them?
And
wife followed them for a week.
Oh, my. Where are they going?
Probably back to Omaha.
Yeah, why did your wife go?
She drove back up there.
She wanted to stay in the warm bosom of her mother? I mean, like what are we doing here? Why is your wife going to Omaha? There's no reason for that.
There's nothing in Omaha.
Well, there's this nice zoo. They got some good restaurants up there. They got a Nebraska Furniture Mart. Back off of Omaha. 2 baseball stadiums.
Rollerblades, cool or dorky?
I think they kind of came and gone, right?
Like, that came in the 70s and it just left.
No,
right?
that was the 90s
skates.
Thing.
Yes,
roller skates.
Oh, okay.
If you're playing hockey, you're playing roller hockey. That's one thing. But I don't. Yeah, if you want a rollerblade, fine. Go ahead. You don't see many people doing it anymore.
So that's Sonic. Sonic does those.
That's
right,
skates.
Still?
Skates.
Oh. WEEI is reading the rules of challenges right now. They are whining big time.
You know what? Your coach used all his challenges. You get 2 challenges in that kind of. Look, the refs were terrible yesterday. The refs were absolutely atrocious yesterday.
Yeah, they got jobbed on.
They cost two touchdowns.
The same drive.
Yeah, they cost the Patriots 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, ultimately, yeah.
Although, I'm not ruling out that Tyreek Hill and Pat Mahomes, one of the two, would have made that tackle.
I'm kind of glad the whistle blew. I didn't want to see somebody try to blow up Pat, though, too, you know, and try to block
him
out
of the
play.
You see how fast Tyreek Hill got back there, though, to try to stop it?
But he overran it.
Yeah,
like,
I know. They were going to cut back on him, and he was gone. But yeah. I'd like to think that he would have then circled back around and caught him again.
Well,
Tecmo Bowl.
Either way, the referees were awful last night, and welcome to the real world, New England. You've got real world problems right now. The refs finally screwed you. After 20 years, you got paid back last night. Grin and bear it.
Shouted out, I lost my mood ring, and I don't know how to feel about it.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. Maybe you roll the dice and ask it a question.
He's been saving.
Use the magic eight ball and figure out how
they've
you're supposed to feel.
They've been saving that text, I can tell. That is today's edition of Shout It Out. Where's my luggage? Next.
Fesco in the morning.
It was an interesting morning for the Chiefs because the Chiefs could not unload until about 8 o'clock this morning all their equipment because there was a high school football game yesterday. They unloaded it and realized they left a crate on the plane with 35 of their players' bags. LeSean McCoy telling me he didn't have his helmet, he didn't have his cleats or his shoulder pads. Well, fortunately, the plane was in Newark, so they were able to fly it up, rush the bags over here. Didn't get here until about 2:30 this afternoon. All hands on deck, so crisis certainly averted. But guys, if they couldn't get it here, could you imagine they would have had to forfeit this game?
No, we couldn't. Tracy Wolfson.
Oh,
thanks.
My goodness.
Thanks for sending it back to us with that report. Tracy Wolfson, CBS, joining us here to give us the bag report.
Could you imagine that? They almost would have had to forfeit that game last night if they did not get their luggage there. And it didn't show up till about 2:30 or so Eastern time, right before
the start of the game. They're wearing, like, Patriots practice gear and Patriots, like, backup helmets with no stickers on the side.
I mean, it was like a bad deal, man.
Like a high school game that the team doesn't have their uniforms in.
How do you forget to take the equipment off the plane? I mean, the article that I saw on ESPN was very specific to say this was not the Patriots' fault. This was the Chiefs' fault. It's
go
the
over
NFL's
and above
fault.
To explain right. That it wasn't the Patriots that did
they it. Did. No, they, yeah. Honestly, they did. It was the Chiefs' fault. The Chiefs, you got to unload your plane. I mean, you can't sit there and not unload
no,
your plane.
No, but the fact that the NFL had to go over and above, like, making sure, hey, you guys know this wasn't the Patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got to make sure you say that. Make sure you know, say it wasn't the Patriots. Everybody will believe it was the Patriots. Make sure you say it was the Chiefs' fault.
Right. Yeah, uh-huh. Right. That's what it was. It was. I mean, it's your plane, man. Take your stuff off, man. I don't care if there's a game there or something last night. You could find a way to get your gear off the plane.
That and if the plane's not sitting there waiting for you and right. Going somewhere else, why is anybody else checking the plane?
Yeah, like double check that?
Yeah. But like, even if you're, because, you know, your people are probably unloading or whatever, but the plane's going somewhere else, you think there's like airport or airline people that are actually going through the plane too and going, wait, you guys forgot this giant box of things over here.
Well, did you ever leave anything on a plane before? Have you ever left like an iPad or an iPod or a laptop or something on the plane?
No.
And you start to walk. I haven't either, but I see it happen all the time. You start to walk up the jetway and you get to like where you're almost out of the jetway and into the airport. And you're like, oh, I forgot my laptop. And you go back and that's never there. Like it's never there. That nothing is ever there when you go back on a plane to find it. But the fact that the Chiefs gear was still in that plane, they got very, very lucky because, you know, just the normal person leaving a book behind, that thing is never there. The flight attendants, they whisk through that plane fast, and they're just throwing things away. They don't care. You know, so they get rid of that stuff right away. The Chiefs are really, really lucky that it didn't come back to bite them. And they're also lucky, too, guys, that United is their preferred carrier and the one who runs their charters. And they took that plane from Providence and just, you know, brought it down to Newark, which is one of the big hubs for United, and they didn't send it to Denver or Chicago or Washington, D.C. or San Francisco. And as I was doing my research
and
on this
story. And
then
make the Chiefs go fill out that form at that little office.
Yeah, where,
you
never, where they never find it.
Missing, and they're like, okay. And then it somehow arrives back on your porch like 3 days later because it got sent around the world.
Right, and there's nothing inside of it because, you know, somebody took everything. So they never find those lost bags. And in doing my research, do you know that United has a hub in Guam? They're lucky that plane didn't go to Guam and that thing wasn't sitting in the Pacific Islands with the Chiefs equipment on it.
Using that flight app again, are you?
Yeah. No, not the flight app. I just looked it up. I mean, it's not hard to figure it out. And so they're lucky that Newark was right there and that's where that plane was and it didn't go to some other place or if you use an airline like Southwest that doesn't have hubs and those things just fly anywhere, you have no idea where those planes are going to end up. So they're lucky they were on the right airline and it was in close proximity to
the planes going over and they just push it off the back with the parachute. And it drops into the field.
Right, cargo.
Unload it like a military dropping.
Yeah. I mean, but seriously, like
that. That'd actually be pretty cool to watch.
It would be, actually, yeah. But
you see the Chiefs players running out there to grab their bag and put their helmet on and jump on the field.
Right. And the interesting thing is they flew it to Boston when the Chiefs fly in and out of Providence, and then the Massachusetts State Police had to escort the equipment from Logan down to Foxborough. Did you see their tweet about that, how they unwillingly – escorted the equipment, but they were happy to do it.
I'm surprised Belichick didn't get it stopped.
Somebody's getting fired in the Massachusetts Highway Patrol for escorting that equipment
down
there last
night. Forget those nice sweet tickets you used to get.
Yeah, you cut off. The cops are cut off in Massachusetts now for escorting that there. But it's funny because things always happen when you play in New England. And this is not the Patriots' fault whatsoever. This is squarely on the Chiefs. You got to take your bags off the plane and do all that kind of stuff. But the fact that the NFL had to go out there and absolutely 100%, Josh, point out that the New England Patriots had nothing to do with it should tell you everything that you need to know about the New England Patriots. Could you imagine if we had to forfeit that game yesterday because the bags were left on the plane? Could you imagine what would have happened and what this show would have been like today and what this city would have been like today had the Chiefs had to forfeit their game because the equipment was somewhere? Thank God United is hubbed in Newark, and that's a 2-minute flight back up to Boston.
Odds that have been forfeited, I think, zero.
What do you think they would have done? That was like NFL
They would have delayed something somehow, and they would have got it done.
You think they would have?
Yeah, there's no way they forfeited.
Wow, I don't know, man. That would have been really interesting to see, but it was touch and go there for a while. And another good thing.
We had a great story. Like, Chiefs equipment people were dispatched all over the Boston area to Modell's where they were buying
helmets, the equipment,
spray painting them red.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, spray paint? I mean, what that would have looked like? Buying some youth, you know, shoulder pads for Tyreek Hill, and could you find some big enough for Chris Jones? I don't know. But the good news is Andy Reid is the head coach, and if it's anybody else, it may not be as calm as it was.
I just know this. Everybody stayed calm, and just it happened. So, I mean, it wasn't a big deal, and, you know, that I've been doing it for a lot of years, and one out of how many ever years I've been doing it, you know, keeps things exciting.
Yeah. I had my bag. I don't know.
Could you imagine, like, if Andy Reid was from Animal House? You're all going to remain calm.
Stop freaking out.
Like, you know, or you're in old school. We got to keep our composure. Yeah. And he's, like, freaking out in the locker room because the equipment isn't there. I mean, that's the benefit of having a guy like Andy Reid in charge who can just keep everybody calm, keep everybody in order. Don't let anybody freak out, because that's the type of situation, Josh, where you do freak out, where you do lose your mind because, oh, my God, where the hell is Pat's helmet? And he said after the game, his helmet wasn't there. That's the communication helmet from Andy Reid to get the play in, to let them know what they're going to do.
At this game, that's not going to work anyway.
That is true. They jammed those things, right? They jammed those things. But, man, what a crazy story to have happen. And I talked to some people yesterday with the organization. It's a little nerve-wracking right now. Where the hell's our gear? And why didn't you take it off the plane? Like, what were you doing? What were you thinking by not unloading the plane?
Way in the back. I just didn't look, you know.
I didn't know that was ours.
Shoved back there. Didn't know it was there. Thought it was extra meals. I don't know.
Right, maybe it was the airline bringing some cargo on or something like that. That's a major mistake by the Chiefs, by the airline, by everybody involved, you know, with that thing. The only one who wasn't involved, shockingly, Bill Belichick, except he was driving the UPS truck.
Yeah, but he got to add to the aura being blamed without actually doing anything.
Yeah.
I mean, part of that aura, I think, is that I think a majority of that stuff doesn't even happen. Now it's just believed that it happens.
Right.
Right. There's not a person dressed as a plant in the corner of the hotel room listening and standing there. But you believe there is.
Sure you do.
So, I mean, this is just another thing. Like, we all believe the Patriots had a hand in this somehow, some way, right?
Yeah.
Even though they didn't.
You know.
Doesn't matter. For their purposes, stuff like this happens when you come here. Sorry.
You joked with me on Friday when one of my Chiefs' win-if was if the bus makes it to Foxborough. Who the hell? It almost didn't. It literally almost didn't make it.
Somehow that police escort gets diverted.
Yeah, all of a sudden that thing's up in New Hampshire. Yeah. We took a wrong turn on 95. Yeah. Our bad.
Whoops. Some highway got closed leading to the stadium.
Yeah, you know, there was traffic or, you know, something like that. And if you're a Patriot fan and you see that police escort coming and you know that they've got the Chiefs gear,
you're jumping out front.
Yeah. Why aren't you pulling out in front of that thing, man, and slowing things
Those
down?
Those guys that ripped off the Red Sox banner for sure would try to take a police convoy off the road.
We're working too, you know, like, I'm surprised.
Like a truck comes wheeling out in front of it, slows down, and then they can't get there, you know.
Right. Like a Batman movie.
Yeah. Just get in front of it, and all of a sudden you're just kind of plugging along. Now, you've been involved in those police escorts before with the KU football team and whatnot. People just get out the way in those type of
kind
things.
Kind of. I mean, you know? the the officers are very aggressive in getting people off the road.
Yeah. They are. But, like, if you're in Massachusetts and you figure out what they're escorting, you get in front of that thing.
Suddenly have a flat tire.
Yeah.
Coming up in 5 minutes, Foxborough actually turned into Hilton.
Oh, boy.
Yesterday. The officials are an issue. They did not have a good game yesterday. And Belichick's fault, though, ran out of challenges early. You got to figure out when you're going to exactly use those challenges. And, boy, they could have used some later in the game. Certainly had a touchdown taken away. I thought two on the one drive should have scored on the defensive touchdown. And then certainly the pylon lunge, which 9 times out of 10, I don't feel like it's a touchdown when they just get the pylon. That one actually was a legitimate touchdown. It was taken away. Ends up in a field goal. And then the blatant pass interference that didn't get called as well.
Oh, God.
Not a good day for the officials.
Yeah, that was with about, 3 minutes and 26 seconds to go. It was clearly a pass interference, but they had no challenges left. And so that's where that kills you. The referees were awful.
I don't know how they missed that one, though. That one's just brutal.
Because the referees are awful, Josh. I mean, I don't really, like, feel bad saying that. I mean,
Kendall Fuller, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you got Truth Sermon to him, he's like, yeah, I was beaten, so I just grabbed him.
I grabbed him and pulled him down, yeah. I mean, that was clear pass interference. So
how the heck they missed that is unbelievable.
But the Chiefs were beneficiaries of it. There's no doubt. We benefited yesterday because of it. But I will say this. Eventually, it's going to come back. I mean, we've already seen the referees kill us, you know, and hurt us and whatnot. And I think this is a league thing. This isn't necessarily like yesterday's thing because the New England Patriots had a pass interference. Or not the New Orleans Saints had a pass interference penalty again yesterday that clearly didn't get called. But we're in a spot now, I think, in the NFL where we have to do away with the challenge system. I think it's stupid. I think it's antiquated, and I think it's ridiculous. I think every play should be reviewable from the booth and just move forward there because you are seeing these referees get increasingly worse with the challenge system. They're getting increasingly worse instead of better. And I think when we've got this right now where coaches have to use their challenges early on in the game and then it prevents them from doing stuff later in the game, these referees just have to get better. And I think every single play needs to be reviewed and challenged if it needs to be challenged from upstairs and take the challenge system out of the coach's hands because clearly two challenges in this day and age, Josh, of the NFL where you can challenge now everything just isn't enough. And if you're on the other end of it, let's say you're up in Old England today and you're complaining on WEEI, our sister station up there, about the referees today, if every play was challengeable from the booth, the Patriots probably win that game yesterday. And I don't want to see a situation where we have the tables flipped on us later in the season and ultimately lose a game because Andy ran out of challenges because the referees were so bad. You had to challenge stuff early on in the game to get that momentum on your side. And then when you need them late in the game, they are gone. And so I think ultimately the referees in the booth need to be in charge of the challenges and when to radio down to review these things because the defensive touchdown by New England and then that offensive touchdown by New England, those are obvious game changers right there. And because the refs didn't do their job early on in the game, then you as that team become penalized later on in that game. That just to me has got to end right now in the NFL.
Now on the Fuller pass interference, this year's officials wouldn't have overturned that
probably
anyway.
Not.
So
no. Yeah.
Even though it was blatant, they wouldn't have touched it because that's what they've been set up to do for the most part. So that one to me was this 2019 NFL. Sorry.
Right.
But the other two, you're like, wow, those are bad misses. You wonder though too, even if it's coming from above,
mm-hmm.
is the replay official going to want to almost point out here's what's not happening down on the field?
I think you have to.
I think you do have to, but they're so protective of themselves,
right?
That inner circle group that are the officials. I don't know that a replay official would want to call him out for missing stuff.
Then maybe you allow a fan to do that with their kingdom points or something. Be the replay official, the radio. I mean, seriously, like if you can't employ people that are going to call the game on the up and up, then you need to employ somebody, a fan up there to do that, to radio down, to let this thing go. Because if these guys are going to protect each other and live in their, you know, their comfortable womb of, you know, making great money to be poor at their job, then we need to do something different about that too. So I'm all in favor. Use your kingdom points to be the replay official that day and radio down to tell these stooges they're effing up.
Today's fan of the game will have an opportunity to
to
lead the replay.
Be the replay guy. Oh, you got to do a breathalyzer, make sure you're sober before you go up there or something. But, you know. Hey,
I'm not putting limits on it. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. Your chance to win 7 o'clock hour prize, a 2020 a golf card. How about that?
Nice.
You get some golf. I was gonna say when the weather's nice, but I mean you could probably go now.
No, it's gonna get cold like by 9 o'clock. It's supposed to be dropping below 30.
Yeah, that's why they have those little propane heaters in your golf cart. You'll be fine. All right. People are golfing all year round around here. You can win the 2020 golf card though. Just for listening, the next time you hear this,
Brady doesn't suck.
be caller number
12
to 913-576-7610. You get yourself the 2020 golf cart just for listening.
I thought it was really interesting, too, after the game. Andy was asked about the officiating, and he knows he got away with one.
Well, it's give and take. I mean, that's what it was. We had too many penalties. I mean, I said that they had five. We had 10, I think. I mean, it was too many for about 100-plus yards. So, I mean, but those things are give and take. It's all part of the human element of the game, you know, and whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, but, you know, it all works its way out. So
yeah, it all worked its way out. It really did for the for
keeps
the
it interesting,
yesterday.
Like you said with the bags, right?
Yeah, right. You got the human element that's involved
loves
in it.
It.
Yeah, he loves it. And he'd probably like, finally, we finally were able to get a victory and have the referees call stuff for us. Clearly the league wanted the Chiefs to win. It's better to have the Chiefs win that game yesterday than the New England Patriots win that game yesterday. It just is for business.
Hey, what do Patriot fans and Iowa State fans have in common?
Booing.
He saw that yesterday, didn't you?
Good Lord. Every Patriot fan is an Iowa State fan now.
Boy,
huh?
Halftime yesterday, that one poor guy, he was just joining the crowd. You could just tell he was like just – he was just in on his – boo, the guy, boo,
yeah, yeah,
and then they showed on television, and they keep showing it, and all the replays. Like he wasn't the only one booing, but he probably feels like it today. Like, oh, my gosh, I got singled out for
booing. He's going to be like the thumbs down guy at Yankee Stadium. You remember that guy?
Yeah, but Patriot fans booing as they ran off the field yesterday at halftime.
Well, and that to me, that old England fans right now are a bunch of spoiled brat fans, and that's the only way that I can sum them up right now. Ungrateful, spoiled brats. That's what an old England Patriot fan is today, for booing a franchise, an organization, a coach, and a quarterback who have won 6 Super Bowl titles in the last 20 years and have had the greatest run in the history of professional sports in the United States of America, what they've been able to do. And because things just weren't working the way that the fans wanted them to in the first half of that game, they're out there booing Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriot franchise like that. That is a bunch of ungrateful fans. And if I'm Tom Brady, I am demanding out today and saying I am no longer playing for fans who don't have the capacity to know how to be a fan of an organization that went on a 20-year rip and destroyed the competition for 2 straight decades. And, oh, by the way, is still the 2 seed and 10-3 and leading their division this year. And you're out here booing us? That is just a bunch of ungrateful fans. And I hope fans in Kansas City never get to that point. And I don't think that we will, where you're out there, you know, taking what the Patriots and what your team has done for granted. And that was a total up yours by old England fans to Tom Brady. And quite honestly, he did not deserve that. I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I loved every minute of it. But, man, it just shows you the ungratefulness, the spoiled bratness that is alive in old England with their football team. To boo that franchise, man, that takes stones. That takes stones to boo a franchise who's brought you nothing but joy for 2 decades.
Hey, they spent a week lambasting the offense on Sports Talk Radio.
I know.
In Boston. They got to let it out on game day.
I mean,
what have you done for me lately? An offense was nothing.
The Chiefs defense had something to do about that.
Oh, stop. Had nothing to do with it. You know it. From a national perspective.
Oh, from a national perspective. Yeah, sorry. Nothing about the Chiefs today.
I heard one today already. It was the Patriots haven't beat anybody.
Right. I saw a video on ProFootballTalk.com today that was 3 minutes and 52 seconds long about the game yesterday. They didn't get to the Chiefs until 3:03 into that video. and then the narrative was, well, you know, their offense is really good, but I don't know if their defense is going to be – what are you watching? Like, anybody who still thinks the Chiefs' offense is spectacular and the defense isn't any good has not watched a game in 2 months.
Well, it's like teams develop identities, and that's the Chiefs' identity now.
But they just beat the Patriots with a great defensive effort.
If you are casually watching them, that's what you believe.
I guess.
Offense is really good and their defense is suspect.
They scored 3 points in the second half and their defense played balls to the wall defense yesterday, destroying Tom Brady. not allowing a touchdown pass at the end when everybody thought the Pats were going to score and set, at least send that game to overtime and to see what was going to happen there. Like, everybody thought that was going to be a touchdown. And there's Breshad Breelingham. Boop, get the hell out of here. You're not making that catch today, Julian Edelman. And we still got the narrative that this offense is spectacular and the defense, I don't know if they can stop anybody. They came up with one of the biggest stops in the NFL this year. 4th-and-3 at the 5-yard line against the New England Patriots, where the GOAT is throwing to Edelman, and the Chiefs stopped it in one-on-one coverage. And people are still walking around, I don't know about this defense, guys. And it's Tony Dungy. I'm like, what are you doing here? Give this defense the credit that it's due. They went out there and they shut down the greatest of all time. And they won a football game. They won that game because of defense. The offense didn't have anything to do with that thing yesterday. They won that game because of defense. Defense wins championships. And Tom Brady needs to wake up this morning and let Steve Spagnuolo know that he's his daddy. Just like we saw Pedro Martinez do to the New York Yankees back in 2002, 2003.
Back to the Foxborough crowd. They were booing.
Yeah.
And apparently they were a little bit feisty late in the game as well.
How so?
They had to get some people out. Chiefs fans out.
Well, yeah, early in the game, I think it was.
Like Pat's girlfriend.
Yeah, they were like being rude to her and everything.
Security had to get them out and protect them, I guess.
Yeah, why are you doing that? Like, why are you harassing people family from members, the other team and family members? Like, that's just a bad look for old England. I mean, that's their look. Let me rephrase it. I've been there to games. It's nasty there. It is nasty there. And they're not above, you know, taking it out on even their own team. But now you have to have security come, as Pat's girlfriend tweeted out yesterday, and escort them to a safe spot.
Let's take it to a suite.
Man. She sit up there with Kraft in them or what?
Maybe. Someone wanted to know if that lady next to Kraft ever stopped talking. They kept showing Bob Kraft, and I don't know who was sitting next to him. I don't know who was sitting next to him. She was yapping the whole game, and he wasn't even responding.
But would you? I mean, this is your team. I mean, it was a tension filled game.
I wouldn't sit there with a suit and tie on either. But those are NFL owners.
What would you wear to a game if you own the team?
I don't live in that. I don't live in that realm.
Would you wear your own jersey with the number one cling on the back?
Right, right. Owner.
Yeah.
Owner one. Nacho cheese sauce down the front of it.
Yeah,
damn
you
straight.
Wouldn't care.
You can go get your AFC West t-shirts again today, so that's cool. You can add your collection. And the slogan this year, I swear, specifically designed for the Chiefs. The slogan says, the West is not enough. And I thought, bravo. 4th in a row.
Right.
We've kind of said it even for a few years now that, like, the winning the division is, like, nice and all. But
right.
It's not really what you're aiming for. You're aiming for higher.
Correct.
So the slogan this year is the West is not enough. That's just really cool because it fits the Chiefs. I was a little bit disappointed to know that's everybody's slogan.
Like, I don't understand that slogan.
Like, I saw New Orleans is the only other team that has clinched the division at this point. And so they were also advertising the South is not enough. T-shirts.
That's basically telling you as a fan, don't buy this T-shirt because it's not enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I mean, the message, I think, for the Chiefs is perfect. Like, winning the division is nice, but we got bigger fish to fry.
And they
let's
all
go.
Said it, you know, let's, from Teron Matthew
let's,
to
let's
Paul
go.
Hardman.
The next thing is you have to check this one off the list, but, you know, you're trying to win more than this. So I get it. Why the NFL is marketing it that way, I don't know. Like, no use buying this shirt. The divisions don't even matter to us anymore, which is kind of strange. So it's everybody's slogan. So everybody that wins the division will have the whatever division is not enough. But I think it's very appropriate for the Chiefs because the West is not enough at this point. We've seen them win the West now.
Right.
Okay, what you going to do now?
Is that some kind of, like, new slogan, like, the West is not enough?
This is October. That's what it is. This is October.
Yeah.
That everybody had on their baseball things.
Always
That's all it
October.
Is. The next year was always October or whatever.
Right.
And this is the NFL's one this year is the division's not enough for everybody because you shouldn't be satisfied.
Then why sell that? I don't understand how you're selling that T-shirt.
I don't either.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
That's when you make yourself.
Yourself, yeah. That's when you give to the players, or that's when you say, all right, we won the West, but that's not enough.
Yeah.
You know, no, okay. That's, you don't try to sell that T-shirt because you're telling the fans, like, don't buy this
thing. It is a strange marketing perspective. Yes, I'll give you that.
I wonder who was in that room in Park Avenue that came up with that one.
Here's a T-shirt that
signifies. What we're going to do, Bob. We're going to come up with the blank is not enough, and then we're going to sell them for $40. Okay, Jim, that sounds great. Like, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But it fits the Chiefs. 100% fits the Chiefs this year.
It works for the Chiefs because the West is indeed not enough.
Neither is the South. Now, they should have said how the West was won. Now, that would have made sense.
Then they have to come up with different ones because how the South was won wouldn't be.
The South will rise again.
I don't think
something like
that. I think
you
can be creative enough to have multiple slogans.
Right. The sun rises first in the East.
Or a specific team slogan.
The sun never sets on the West.
To have a specific one for each team that happens to win that division wouldn't
be
that hard.
Yeah, but you print all these T-shirts ahead of time.
Wouldn't be that hard to do.
Right.
Yeah, these are printed like 3 months ago.
Could have had four-peat or something like that for the Chiefs.
I don't know. The West is not enough, though. Get them now.
Is it the North? The North Division, what could the North be?
Well, the North is not enough either.
No, I know.
It's so easy. They don't have to change anything.
Due North.
Ian in Overland Park wins the 2020 MVP golf card. That was our 7 o'clock hour prize just for listening. This is how you win them back. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.